Brother Andrew's. I was shown, December 10th, 1871, that Brother Andrew's is a strong man in some things, while in others he is weak. His desire to please his friends leads him to discommode himself and to make wrong moves, which have crippled his labors so that they have not been as efficient as they might have been. In his anxiety to please special ones, he injures them. He gives them too much of his time and attention. While he is flattering himself that he is helping them, he is doing them injury and making their salvation more difficult. They do not rightly interpret the special interest he manifests in them. Some flatter themselves that they have superior qualifications that Brother Andrew's discerns and appreciates. His object is good, but his efforts in these things are frequently misdirected and injure instead of benefiting them. Brother Andrew's made too much of Brother Howard in the state of Maine. He estimated his abilities too highly and gave him too much influence. Brother and Sister Hale of Maine were also injured by receiving undue attention from Brother Andrew's. They became jealous of my husband, myself, and other brethren and sisters because they did not receive as much attention from them. Brother and Sister Hale were a great trial to the church. They were most of the time on the contrary side, seldom in union with the church. They could seldom be found twice of the same mind. They had a way and will of their own, which they wished others to follow, but they were not willing to be led. They were both independent, willful, set, and unyielding. They had their points to carry, and were unwilling to submit their will and judgment to that of the church. Here Brother Andrew's failed, both in discernment and judgment. He thought to pacify and to please Brother and Sister Hale, and remove all occasion for jealousy. His precious time and strength were taxed in this effort, which only did injury. Faithful dealing, mingled with kindness, would have been exactly what they needed. The undue interest Brother Andrew's manifested for them was like daubing them with untempered mortar. Plain truth, appropriate to their condition, spoken to them, would have been like laying the axe at the root of the tree. The attention Brother Andrew's gave them led them to expect the same consideration from their brethren, and if they were not flattered, their jealousy was excited. They thought their brethren did not appreciate them, and that they were very essential to the church. They thought their judgment should be respected above the judgment of the brethren. They would not have been placed in this position of temptation if it had not been for the special and uncalled for attention of Brother Andrew's. While Brother Andrew's was giving time and attention to these unconsecrated ones to save them from trial, he allowed burdens and responsibilities to drop with weight upon my husband, who was then too feeble to bear them. Brother Andrew's did not mean to do wrong in any way, but he had his mind centered upon a few and neglected to lift the burdens where they most needed to be lifted. Brother Andrew's exalted Brother and Sister Hale, and they, in their turn, thought Brother Andrew's a perfect man. They believed in his discernment and thought themselves greatly abused by others because they did not make as much of them as Brother Andrew's had done. When Brother Andrew's friends claim his attention, he will make considerable sacrifice to please them, and he frequently robs the cause of God by devoting to their personal benefit time and strength, which God would have him use in a more important work. Brother Andrew's frequently injures the very ones he thinks he is benefiting. This error in Brother Andrew's is the result of cultivating one set of faculties, while he allows others to lie dormant, so that he is not well balanced. My husband could not understand how Brother Andrew's could not discern the burdens that must come upon him in having to take the responsibility of deciding important matters, while he could devote so much time to those who had no weight of the cause of God upon them. This one case was presented to illustrate the many.
The Lord gave Brother Andrew's light while he was living at Kirkville, New York, that he was not in the right place. I was shown that he should be located where there was a church, and where he would not be called to bear the entire burdens of his own family, neither be called out to bear burdens for others when he should come home weary from his labors. I was shown that he should be where it was most pleasant for him, and where his surroundings would be cheerful and agreeable. His hands should be strengthened by the sympathy, kindness, and prayers of his brethren, and, in his absence, his family should have the tender watch care of the brethren and sisters. The church should make the case of his family as their own. They should be sympathetic and considerate. This responsibility on the part of the church would not only remove a great burden from Brother Andrews, but they in their turn would be blessed as they exercised their kindness and gave living expression of the feelings of their heart for the servants of God. If, years in the past, when the office of publication was in Rochester, New York, the brethren and sisters in Rochester and vicinity had been less selfish and less jealous of those whom God had selected to bear the heaviest burdens, while standing in the most responsible positions in connection with the cause and work of God, if they had shown their faith by their works, if they had been consecrated to God and really loved the truth, and shown fruits of the same by manifesting a personal interest in the success and advancement of the work of God, the office of publication would not have been removed from Rochester. The painful experience we had in Rochester while our brethren neglected to share our burdens was marked of God. At this time, Brother Andrews was on the wrong side. Instead of lifting the burdens where they most needed to be lifted, he was with the murmurers and the jealous ones. He occupied a position where, if his course was questioned by my husband, he felt aggrieved, and the impression he gave to others by his words and deportment led them to settle in their minds that my husband and myself were wrong. Brothers Orton and Lamson did not receive the correct impression, and a large circle connected with these thought Brother White was severe and overbearing, and they felt justified to array themselves against us because so good a man as Brother Andrews was abused by Brother White. The carrying out of their peculiar feelings of sympathy led them to unite in blinding the eyes of Lumen Maston to his own case. They daubed him with untempered mortar, crying, "Peace, peace," to the dying man going down into the grave with his sins unconfessed. This unsanctified sympathy has proved the ruin of thousands. The feeling of dissatisfaction with some was carried to downright rebellion. The attachment of Brother Lamson, Orton, and Andrews, and the Stevens family was of that character to deceive and blind the eyes of all. Brother Andrews being in the ring was a stay and support to the whole. Repeated testimonies of warning had been given, and if Brother Andrews had stood clear from the influence of these friends with whom he was connected and to whom he gave his sympathy, he would have discerned the wiles of the enemy and not been found at all with that class who were deceiving and being deceived. He was himself giving wrong impressions to others, and they were deceiving him. I was shown that he that justifieth the wicked, and he which condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord. The Lord gave me a testimony that unless there was an entire change in the brethren and sisters of Rochester and vicinity, the office of publication would be removed. But the spirit that controlled Dathan and Abiram and the princes of renown controlled the minds of this company who set themselves against the light. According to the light given, Rochester was left. I saw the angel of mercy turning from Rochester. Said the angel, "As surety as they have done this, so surely will I repay, saith the Lord." In view of all the past, although Brother Andrews had deeply felt his error, yet his settling in Rochester, amid the very same ones who were united in their sympathies to war against us, was not wise. Brother Andrews should cultivate traits of character wherein he is deficient. He has done wrong by flattering those who were unconsecrated, by his special attentions and strong attachments. The Lord has, in his word, warned against and set forth the evil of crying peace when he did not speak peace. The Lord has, through testimonies, warned, reproved, and cautioned in regard to the inclination of Brother Andrews to flatter and to sympathize with those who are his special friends. He has greatly injured them in so doing.
Brother Andrews, settling in Rochester with the very ones who sustained one another in their former murmuring and jealousy, was not as God would have it, for several reasons. 1. Brother Andrews' influence would be very limited in Rochester, and he could not, while at home, exert an influence upon brethren and sisters which would tell upon the cause of God. 2. Brother Andrews was not in the midst of a church who could bear the burdens of responsibility which must necessarily come upon him, located in as central a place as Rochester, where there were but very few, and these needed much care and continual labor. 3. Brother Andrews was obliged to entertain much company, and was compelled to exercise close economy in order to keep clear from embarrassment. Although brethren and sisters were liberal, yet a care was brought upon the family which ought not to have been borne by them. 4. Brother Andrews was called upon to do errands and little business matters for others while in Rochester, which occupied his precious time and told upon his strength. His house was as a hotel. As one after another of the brethren have been removed by death, Brother Andrews has been left almost alone, with more and greater care. All these things should have been convincing to Brother Andrews in regard to his duty. But that which should have told with the greatest weight of all was the fact that the office of publication was removed because of unfaithfulness of those who should have felt the deepest interest in the cause and work of God. This company, who bound themselves together by cords of unsanctified sympathy, would not receive reproof and counsel. The straight testimony was irksome to them, and they determined to separate themselves from us, and they left Rochester. Rochester was a central place, and the house of Brother Andrews has been like a hotel. If Brother Andrews had exercised his reason, and if his judgment had been unbiased, he could have seen before this that he had made a mistake. If Brother Andrews had for a time located at Adams's Center, he could have exerted an influence for good over that church. But Brother Andrews was not pleased with the prospect of making his home at Adams's Center. His inclination was to listen to the persuasion of his friends with whom he was well acquainted and settle in Rochester. While he was hesitating, Brother Taylor moved to Adams's Center, and Brother Andrews felt that his way was hedged up. Brother Taylor has not been a blessing to the church at Adams's Center, but a burden. He was not qualified to give that large church the very help they really needed and must have in order to prosper and increase in grace and in the knowledge of the truth. The church has been growing weaker under Brother Taylor's labors instead of stronger. Brother Andrews reasoned that the Lord had closed up his way in going to Adams's Center, but he was too slow. He did not move quick enough. Brother Andrews was acquainted with the reasons of my husband's objection to his settling in Rochester. In view of the past, God bade us flee from Rochester because his blessing would not prosper his work there. The persuasion of friends and relatives drew Brother Andrews to Rochester, while my husband sought to draw him away from Rochester. This has led Brother Andrews to feel very sensitive of censure in reference to his remaining in Rochester. The influence of a few friends balanced the matter with Brother Andrews. It would have been for the salvation of Alva Orton had his parents moved with him from Rochester to some more retired place. But Brother Andrews's locating there made it hard for them to leave. Bradley Lamson should not have settled in Rochester. It is a hard place to live the truth and to bring up children aright. Since the death of Brother Lamson, Sister Lamson should have moved from that wicked city and placed her children in a community more favorable to their forming a Christian character. The sight of the eyes and the hearing of the ears in a wicked city like Rochester blunt the conscience and stupefy the sensibilities to eternal things. Good and evil are placed nearly upon a level. Brother Andrews's living in Rochester has influenced or held the others there. They seemed rooted
and no influence could be brought to bear upon them of sufficient force to start them from Rochester. These believers in the truth were not wise in bringing up their children in that wicked city. The Lord gave direction to his disciples, if they were not received in one city, to go to another. The same counsel he would have his children now follow. If God's peculiar people can have no influence in a city because it is given to pride and idolatry, if they cannot fully do the will of God, these are other towns, villages, and cities to which they can flee, where their surroundings may be less objectionable.
The friends of Brother Andrews had high expectations of seeing a great ingathering in Rochester, but their expectations have not been realized. The view my husband took in regard to Brother Andrews locating at Rochester greatly burdened Brother Andrews. He prayed over the matter and nearly sacrificed his life in the struggle, with Rochester friends and his own inclination on one side and the entreaties of my husband on the other side. The exercise of prayer brought him into a state of great feebleness of body. His sad condition was charged to Brother White's opposing Brother Andrews in his staying at Rochester. When the circumstances were taken into the account, with all the Lord had shown in reference to Rochester, Brother Andrews presumed upon the mercy of God when he asked for clearer light than he already had. We are not left to choose for ourselves and do those things most agreeable to us, and leave undone those things not pleasant to our nature. It is not for us to stand questioning, but to obey. When Brother Andrews applies himself to the study of subjects, he concentrates his entire mind upon the matter before him and neglects real duties which someone must do, whether they love to do them or not. Brother Andrews applies himself to the study of subjects and then is lost to everything else, which results in the neglect of the real duties which need to be done. When Brother Andrews takes hold of matters, he frequently carries them too far. He concentrates his mind upon the matter before him and is of no practical advantage for anything else. He engaged at one period in reading exercises and robbed himself of necessary sleep in order to read. This pleasurable exercise was carried to extremes and was a serious injury to his health. His habits were not in harmony with physical law. This extra tax unfitted Brother Andrews for doing many things which ought to have been done, and that he positively could not do without injury to his health. His physical nature called for the sleep that his reading and study had deprived him of. In meetings and upon important occasions, nature required the sleep she had been robbed of, and sleep would come upon Brother Andrews like an armed man. It seemed an impossibility to shake off the stupor that would take hold of his senses. Frequently, when his labors were very much needed, and when his senses needed to be fully awake and keenly sensitive, he was utterly unable to do anything requiring mental exertion. Yet at the same time, Brother Andrews did not reason from cause to effect. He was much attached to his own routine of very early rising and extending his labors far into the hours apportioned for sleep. Brother Andrews has not had correct views of how he should labor and preserve health. He has, by his course, formed habits which were every day weakening his physical and mental strength to that degree that if important occasions demanded extra effort, he could not bear the draft upon his mental powers without feeling it sensibly. Brother Andrews' reading was not in itself a sin. He thought it a religious duty. And when things were not done that needed to be done, he has said, "In truth, I have done all that I could." This was so. But had his habits been more in harmony with the law of nature, he could, through careful and regular habits, have performed much more labor without injury to his physical and mental strength. He has come very near an entire breakdown several times through his own wrong course, in being imprudent of the strength God has given him, and he has failed by so doing to glorify God in accomplishing the greatest amount of good. Brother Andrews has had much sympathy excited in his behalf because he worked so hard and was exhausted, when in many instances he could have done the labor easily
if he had taken his usual hours of sleep, and if he had eaten more sparingly of even the simple food which forms his diet. He should have taken a portion of time for physical exercise, which would increase his power of endurance. The amount Brother Andrews has at times placed in his stomach has called the brain nerve power to that organ to carry on the work of the stomach and has robbed him of vitality that he might have preserved. Brother Andrews has a sacred duty to preserve the health God has given him. When engaged in writing, he enjoys the study of books and does not give himself sufficient recreation and change. To read and write steadily is not best for the health or for the clearest productions of the mind. Physical exercise should be united with mental effort. To write, then change and attend meetings, preaching the word, would invigorate and refresh the mind, and keep the brain in a better condition to put forth its strong efforts.
In Brother Andrew's locating in Rochester, he had many drawing upon him, instead of his drawing upon others. His house has been the most proper place to hold meetings and entertain visitors. All these were a pleasure, but also a tax, and when Brother Andrews was at home, took much of his time. His precious time was spent in accommodating his good brethren, while weightier matters were left secondary. The prospering hand of God has not attended the Sabbath keepers in Rochester. A succession of very discouraging events have transpired, in the providence of God, which should have been interpreted by Brother Andrews that his location was not in the order of God. But Brother Andrews has fallen back upon his experience, which he thought was special evidence in favor of his settling at Rochester. But if God gave this experience, he designed to demonstrate to others the fact that he had called Brother Andrews to Rochester for some purpose. That purpose has not been made apparent. Light had been given. The Lord had manifested in his providence, and through testimony, his will. The persuasion of friends, and his own inclination, led Brother Andrews, in face of the light, to plead with the Lord for permission to remain in Rochester. The Lord permitted him to stay, and yet it was not the pleasure of the Lord for him to remain. Brother Andrews' labors in Rochester and Olcott and other places have not been as successful as if he had been settled in some other locality. He was living among those who were acquainted with him, and he with them. He had, as it were, grown up among them, and matured among them, and they were upon an equality. He sustained very much the same relation to the friends in and about Rochester and Olcott that the brothers Lindsays, Lamsons, and Gaskills sustained to one another. He is regarded very much as a member of the same family. Brother Andrews is beloved by them all. All are pleased with his society, and chat and have a social time when together. And Brother Andrews is not in their minds invested with the dignity his position gives him. Had Brother Andrews located among his brethren, who were comparatively strangers, it would have been more in accordance with the mind and will of God, and his influence would have been much greater. When Brother Andrews has come to Battle Creek from time to time, he has overtaxed his strength in doing too much. Had he done only those things which needed to be done, which could not be done away from Battle Creek, his strength would have been sufficient for the burden and tax. But there has been a failure in doing those things which he should not have done, and in not doing those things which were positively necessary to be done. Brother Andrews allowed his mind to take hold of subjects that were not important for the time, and which had no special bearing upon the work which was suffering to be done at Battle Creek, and in order to have done properly, called him hundreds of miles to do. When where the work was, Brother Andrews did not feel and see its importance and lay hold of it and make it a specialty. He followed the bent of his mind and became interested in Bible subjects, and when absorbed in his favorite Bible studies, you cannot see what is to be done and work to advantage. The subject before him is the all-absorbing theme. Health has been sacrificed by night labor. He has robbed himself of rest and sleep.
using up his vigor in doing things which could just as well be done at his own home in Rochester. The extra amount which he need not have done has severely taxed both physical and mental strength.
The cultivation of certain faculties to the neglect of others makes Brother Andrews a one-sided man. When on the subject of the round world, Brother Andrews could scarcely think or talk without dwelling upon this subject. He carried this matter to extremes. He wearied the readers and listeners to his lengthy arguments upon that subject. Precious time was used up in talking and writing upon that subject, which needed to be canvassed, but did not require so great thoroughness. Brother Andrews was wearying himself and others, and at the same time was leaving undone the weightier matters. And more recently, months of precious time have been used up in wearisome labor, chasing after the dishonest quibbles of a man who once kept the Bible Sabbath, but afterward rejected it. His opposition is so great upon the Sabbath question that he is insane upon the subject. The time spent in following Preble so closely and thoroughly has been a mistake. The readers of the review have become wearied with the subject. A set of quibbles have been furnished the readers of the review of no special weight, only to deceive and darken minds. In these things, Brother Andrews could not see his failings. He has pursued the subject with the greatest satisfaction to his own mind. Brother Andrews has needed the help of his brethren. He should have had their counsel. They should have supplied his deficiency by their more equally balanced minds. When Brother Andrews gets upon a train of thought following a subject, he knows nothing about leaving oft when all has been said that is required and that is profitable. The people of God are suffering for the truth which he should bring out at once upon the history of the Sabbath.